Hi, I'm Rania.
And I'm Ismail.
And this is the Happy Marriage Podcast, the podcast to help you not only make your marriage work, but make it thrive. Welcome to today's episode, How to Choose the Right Person. Mm-hmm. So what does that even mean? How to choose the right person? What does right mean? Right for who? Right for you. So is there a person who's just right or wrong? No. But there are people who are you're going to feel are right for you, mm-hmm. and people who you might feel aren't the right person. How do you know? How does it feel? How can you tell? That's what we're here to talk about today. And do you want to start? Or
Think first of all, I think you need to know that there is no 100%. I mean, there is no such thing as... When we say the right person, we don't mean 100%, because I think if you can get to... And that's very subjective, but if you get to like 80%, that's fantastic.
And 90?
Okay. I mean, you can get lucky and get to 90, but I think just to understand that there is no 100% fit, that is 100% right, where everything you want is going to be in that person, and whereby everything you don't like, is nothing is going to be about that person that you don't like. So you need to know that there is a, you know, there is a scale, and you need to be like sort of on a high number on that scale. Mm. But my opinion is that it's not 100%, and that's okay. In fact, if you get to 80% or more, that's going to be a fantastic relationship anyway. Because we are different, and you need to know that within these differences, there are things that you will accept and things that you won't. So just given that there are differences, so that's not 100% anyway. So that's the first thing I think I want to make, that it's not 100%. Now, how do you get the right person, or how do you choose the right person?
How do you know if it's the right person, and you know, sort of, you're going to have criteria, or how do you go about it? Mm. So one of the questions we actually received is it about being attracted to a person? Mm. So if I'm attracted to somebody, does that mean that they're the right person? And I think definitely not. Of course, attraction helps. And I think attraction is the spark. It's what, you know, it's what starts things maybe moving in the right direction. But we can be attracted to a lot of people in our lifetime.
Yes.
So it's not just about attraction. Mm. So once there is hopefully that attraction, let there at least be that, I would say. But then after that, it's about everything else that can happen before we actually make that choice. So really it's that gap, I think, between the attraction and the choice that we can talk about today. But what do we, from our perspective, obviously this is just all our opinion, what do we think needs to be in place or happening? And I think a lot of it is probably related to... I think you mentioned this when we were talking about this yesterday, is first of all knowing ourselves and then knowing what we want. So if we could just focus on ourselves and really focus on what do I actually want, how do I envision my life, my future with a person, whoever that person is. If I was to fast forward 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever, what do I actually see my life as? What's my lifestyle like? What are the things that are important to me? What do I want my life to be, to feel like with this person? And then when the other person does the same thing, then kind of those are the things that are really important to talk about when we're getting to know each other. Because you can be somebody who... either the, you know, you or like the male, female, one of us could feel like, oh, I can just, you know, I imagine, you know, a house, two kids, a dog, you know, I go to work in the morning, I come back at the end of the day, we have dinner together. They're visualizing this lifestyle. The other person could be visualizing something totally different, like there are no kids and there's not even maybe one permanent home, and there's more of a nomadic lifestyle, and they want to travel the world and they want to do, you know, see things. If one of these people is really, really, really excited about that as the rest of their life, then maybe there isn't the right fit here. Or if it's just an idea and you don't really care about it that much, it's just something that crossed your mind and you don't actually mind the other idea, okay, fine. These are the things, though, that are important to talk about.
I think many of us don't spend enough time learning about themselves.
Yeah.
Or envisioning the future. Visualizing your future, I think, is one of the best practices you can do, because it wires you to behave in a way where you end up actually with the future that you want.
Yeah.
And if you make that exercise often enough as in on a daily basis, if you can, I think unconsciously you might end up, you probably will end up choosing the right person, because anybody who comes across or who crosses paths with you, who does not fit that visualization of your future, you probably will end up unconsciously again just, you know, casting them away. But then there's another subject that I actually think that is very important, which is to, you mentioned attraction, and attraction creates a level of emotion where you may make the decision based on it alone. So it's an emotional decision. I would definitely push for what I call the level of doubt that you need to reach certainty. You need to question why, what you're attracted to, and if you're thinking of seriously getting married to somebody, why am I doing this? Most of us, when we're so excited about something and the emotion and emotions are high, you're definitely not being very rational. And this is one of the biggest decisions in your life. So I would, and I think that's what I did. That's why I was asking a while ago about that trip to Alex, because I remember spending like 3 hours walking on the Corniche, Alex, before proposing to you, thinking, why would I do this? And what happens when you say yes, or if you say yes? And you need to sort of go through those questions, like, why am I doing this? Is this the right person? Sometimes we're afraid to ask those questions because we don't want to let doubt in. In fact, it is very good to let doubt in, because if you conquer that doubt, then you're on the right path. If you cannot conquer a little bit of doubt, then definitely something needs to be, you know, something isn't right here. So if you ask yourself those questions and you feel like, okay, I don't even know why I'm doing this. I feel like I'm asking, is she the right person? And I can't tell myself with, like, not even, it doesn't have to be like a straight yes from the beginning, but you need to, like, sort of, even if you have to walk yourself through a yes, she is the right person or he is the right person, I would advise people to go through this exercise. It is something that, again, it's the little bit of doubt that leads to certainty that is important before any major decision, and this is a huge decision. So
yeah, that's a very good tip. I didn't know that you did that.
Although I seem to be one of those people who make irrational decisions or make decisions very quickly, yet I do give myself a little bit of time to think them through and question why I'm doing things. Yeah. And I've done that. And I may have learned this from my dad, because I remember my dad telling me that before proposing to my mother, and that was back in 1955 or 54, I can't remember, he was a 42-year-old single man who's never been married, living in Europe, living in Belgium. And when he decided to propose to her, he basically told me, I got an empty sheet of paper, you know, and drew a line top to bottom in the middle of it, and sort of wrote down what the cons and pros and cons of getting married were. Having been single, you know, and living
life
all my life, now I'm getting married at 42, so pros and cons. And he made a list, and he realized that there's so many pros from his perspective to getting married. And that was obviously a rational exercise, you know, it had nothing to do with emotion. And I think that works. So whatever works for you from a rational perspective, I think it would be very good.
So,
to
I
do.
Mean, both, obviously, but I think, because the emotional perspective is kind of usually people know it's there. And so we're not talking about just rational, you know, like, but both. Yeah.
Yes,
so
obviously.
Your emotions are important. But thinking about your future together and discussing it together, certainly just as important. Aligning on those things that matter most to us is really important. I think that's a really good tip that you just gave.
And then I think another thing to find if that is the right person or not is to, if you are going through those visualizations of your future, you just mentioned that, to discuss them.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about what you like, talk about what you don't like enough, especially what is really important to you.
Yes.
And know that, again, it's not 100%. So nobody's going to come and say, yeah, this is exactly what I want for my future, because maybe it isn't. And most of the time, it doesn't have to be an exact match. But if there is enough, you know, of an alignment on the big things for the future, I think that's
important.
And okay, yeah, and it's important. And the other thing, of course, we discussed in our first episode probably was values. If you're not aligned on core values, you know, they don't have to be exact. We've mentioned this before, we've talked about it before. They don't have to be the exact same values, but at least they aren't opposite.
Yeah.
So I guess you're the one who can give us a little bit more.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But we need to, I mean, there are things that are sort of non-negotiable to us as people.
Yes.
Those are the things we value the most.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a disalignment or a misalignment in one of those, then that's a red flag. Especially if the person actually has the opposite sort of value, you know. We're never going to be exactly like somebody else, and that's fine. And we actually grow together. We could have had some misalignment in some values, and then through the years, you know, we talk about things, and you know, maybe we came closer together in certain aspects than we were before, and so that's fine. It's not like, you know, that's why I say it's rational and emotional. We need to be careful. It's not like, okay, here's your checklist. What do you feel about this? Oh, you're not exactly, you know, aligned with
no,
me on that. Forget
like
it.
That.
You're out the door. It's not like that. But it's important to be aware of what is it that really is important to us, and is that person remarkably far off in a very strong way, and is that a problem for me?
Yeah.
You know, so that's really what it is. Is that a problem for me, or is it not? That's what it would boil down to. And you reminded me of something when we talk about visualizing your future, and if you just do just that, but really visualizing your future as an ongoing thing, whether to do with relationships or with any aspect of your life, your career, your health and fitness goals, if you just see things in the positive light that you want, you're rewiring your brain to help you make those things happen.
Yes.
So when you do that, and when you share it together, the beauty of that, I think, it reminded me of my favorite definition of happiness, which is to follow your highest excitement with integrity and with zero attachment to the outcome. Why did I remember that here? Because if you think about it, I usually share that definition for individuals, follow your highest excitement. But if we apply that to a couple, when you are both visualizing a certain future, and if that certain future is aligned, then the power, the value of you both together following your highest excitement as a couple, that's what makes things work. It makes them thrive because it's exciting. Wow, we're both imagining, you know, that whatever, that little hut on that mountain, the top with a goat, I don't know, whatever it is, you know, but we're both so excited about that.
Yes.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Because individually, our happiness is about, you know, just following, working towards something that's meaningful to us. So if we're both working towards something that's meaningful to us, even if we're also individually working towards some other things that aren't disaligned with that, then that really helps us thrive. But if each one is visualizing something dramatically different from the other, then we're kind of going in opposite directions. That just makes it much more challenging to find that togetherness that we feel is going to help relationships work. So that's one thing you reminded me of. I think it's important, this alignment on our vision of a future. It's important, you know, what do we enjoy about spending time together? How does the person treat you?
Yes.
How does that feel? And also, the opposite, how are you around that person is a good indication for you as well. How are you behaving around that person? Do you find yourself having to pretend a lot? If you're finding yourself having to pretend a lot, do you want to spend the rest of your life pretending? Or do you want to spend the rest of your life being authentic to yourself? You know, just being you, whatever that means. That's important, because if you can't really be yourself, even if you're not, whenever, you know, many of us are not 100% clear about what we are, who we are. That's a journey. But at that moment, are you being true to yourself? or are you often having to, you know, catch what you say, even change how you look or how you behave, then, you know, then I would say that that's something that for you to think about as you're making that choice, because I think we've said this before, but you don't want to spend the rest of your life pretending or being somebody else. So that's really important. I remember this was one of the things my mother, I don't know if we mentioned this before, excuse us if we have some repetition in this podcast, but that's okay. When we first got together, because we met running, so sweaty and, you know, my hair was like just a mess, and that's just, I'm fine with that, I don't have a problem with that. And so I remember though that when we started going out sort of more officially, and you came in and met my parents, I remember that the first night we went out together, but a couple of days later when we were just meeting, not that night I think I got a little bit dressed up, but other times when I would go down to meet you, I'd just be in my sweatpants, t-shirt, my hair is, you know, just messy, a little bit messy, and my mother would be like, are you going out, like, you're gonna go see him like this? I said, yeah. So you don't want to like change or do anything? No, I don't. This is how, you know, this is who I am. And if he likes it, great. And, you know, if he doesn't, okay, then I guess we'll talk about that. We'll see. And she didn't argue at all. And that's, she's really cool as well, because she wasn't the kind of person like, yeah, but you should or, you know, shouldn't. She's like, okay, fine. It's up to you. And so I really felt I was just natural with you. And that's wonderful, because then I can be naturally me the rest of my life as well.
Yes.
It's true that there are some times in a relationship where you might, for certain reasons, you know, not be 100%, you know, honest or abrupt in your response. But then you do that for, you know, rarely, but if you tell me that you like how this looks and you're really excited about something that you just got and I don't like it, I don't have to say, no, I think it looks horrible. But, you know, I might lighten it a little bit, the blow, but I'll still be true to myself. I'm not going to say I love it if I don't love it. So, yeah, it's true that, you know, we might, you know, not be 100%
chance.
Honest. Yeah, but with integrity, though, still,
yes,
as well.
Yes.
So anyway, so yeah, just being able to be yourself is a good way to measure if this is the right person.
I think another point that is also very important is that, concerning the 20%, you know, that are not there, there will be things that you may not like about your partner. And just make sure these are not things that bother you, you know, because you sometimes people get into a relationship with things that they don't like, you know, the things that bother them, like that book you told me about, you know, what, noticing those three hairs, that book.
It was a Mo Gaudet talk in London, when he mentioned, you know, some people might, like, they have their three hairs, I think, in their ear or something. And you're going to focus on those three hairs in the ear, or are you going to focus on other things?
Yeah, so if there are things that you don't necessarily like or whatever, I mean, enjoy, or there is something about the other person that you don't like very much, if it's bothering you a lot, then that's something you need to question. I mean, because you're not going to change somebody. And going into a relationship thinking, okay, this I can fix later, don't do that, because it's going to create the kind of problems that you don't need. I mean, so if you like that person to a large extent, exactly the way they are, and there is a couple of things that you can accept and live with, that is great. And I think we've both done that. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of things, not a lot, but I'm sure there's a few things about me that you may not have enjoyed a lot in the last 30 plus years, but we had enough to work with, you know, and that's what you need to focus on. If there is enough to work with, then that's fantastic, because there is no 100%. And some people, me included, I'm a perfectionist, used to be, maybe a little bit less of a perfectionist right now, but I always aim for 100%, and that is just unreal. So if there are things that you don't like, you either accept them, or if you can't accept them, don't think you're going to change the person. Just, you know, I would probably think, I don't know, I wouldn't say, tell you what to do, but that is a concern. So
yeah, I mean, we're talking about when you're setting out to make the choice. Now if you're already in the relationship and there are those three hairs, if they're just those three hairs and they're not, you know, vital, then don't focus on them. If there's something that's important to you, then talk about it. Not with the aim of, I need to change or I need to fix you, but to maybe bridge those gaps and get the person to understand the problem so that then maybe they can be inspired to make the change, to make the fix.
Now, also there's the subject of compatibility. So there's...
What way?
I mean, people can, again, with that emotional, you know, state you're in, you end up with the wrong person because...
Love is blind.
Yeah, love is blind. And you didn't notice that, you know what, they're not compatible. You've sort of missed that point. And I think it is an important point. There is, I believe in compatibility. And I don't think compatibility means that you have to be alike, but you just have to be compatible, which means that you are aligned on a lot of things. You agree on the at least the bigger things that are important to you in your life. Whether you agree as in you want to do them yourself or not doesn't even matter, as long as, like when we were discussing introverts and extroverts, I mean, if I am an extrovert and I love to, you know, be with people all the time, and you're an introvert and you want to be alone most of the time, if now we may not be compatible in this area, but we let each other, you know, have our time. So as long as we have enough time together to build that relationship. So my point is, looking for compatibility is important, because and that's probably one of the exercises you would do, or the questions you would ask yourself if you're actually going through that little period of doubt before making a decision: are we compatible? That would be a question I would put on my list. So do you have any?
That's very valid. You reminded me of something else as well. This is maybe, these are the little things, but I think the little things really matter to people. But things like if you are imagining that you want to get married to me because you just want to have somebody, you know, to come home to, who has the meal ready, and to, you know, who's maybe dressed up and smells good, and I don't know, and you know, that's what you want me for. If that's aligned with what I want for myself, great. But if I don't want to be, you know, the person who's cooking every day, or just doing that stuff, that's not fulfilling enough for me. These roles, I mean, you just got me to the idea of roles, and because there's stuff that needs to happen in life for us to be able to live. You live in a home, somebody needs to take care of, you know, the electricity bill and the maintenance of equipment or whatever. There's stuff that needs to be done. Who is going to do the stuff? And is this assumed, or is it expected, or are we going to talk about it? Are we going to discuss who's going to do it? That's also something interesting to talk about before we get married, because if the expectation is, you know, or even the opposite, I mean, in our society, it used to be, and I think that's changing now, but very rigid, you know, you're going to go out and you're the breadwinner and you're going to get the money, and then, you know, she's going to take care of the home and the house and the kids. That's changing, and people are sharing more responsibilities. The point is, there are responsibilities, so that sharing of responsibilities can be discussed as well. Who is going to be doing it, and why me, why you? Do I want to do that? Do I not want to do that? Sometimes there are responsibilities that neither of us want to do, because they're just part of adulthood, and they're not necessarily fun or fulfilling, but that's why it's useful to talk about it, because some people discover these things after they get married, and that just means they haven't talked about it, because it can't be a surprise that there's gonna be this stuff to be done, right? If you're still discovering now that, I mean, I know somebody when they got married, she found out that her husband wants to eat home cooked fresh food every day, cooked by her. So that was really important to him. He wanted it to be his wife who's cooking fresh new food every day. So that's a big thing, because if I'm now setting up myself for a day, the rest of my life I'm going to be cooking fresh food daily, I have a bit of a problem with that. Is that problem going to, you know, make us not get married? Maybe not, because maybe that discussion with the person about that expectation, and that's not aligned with me, then maybe he'll let go of that completely, because he wants to be with you, and, you know, that's just, you know, we'll find a way. But it needs to be discussed. That's just a tiny thing, but I think it is these tiny things that get on people's nerves after they get married. So the big things, the tiny things, talk about as much as you can. Don't just make it about going out and having fun and, you know, holding hands or whatever. I mean, don't just make it about those things.
Yeah, because, I mean, up until you get married, if you were living with your parents, you were like almost, you're being served all the time. I mean, you know, things
depends
are done
on your,
for
that's
you.
That's more in our society.
Yeah, at
it
least,
depends, yeah.
I'm talking about
yeah,
this country
I was,
at least.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, and I was too. I mean, I was getting a home-cooked meal by my mom every day, I mean, for
yeah.
20 plus years until I got married. Now, your food is there, it's prepared for you, your bed is made for you, your laundry is made and ironed.
I think
it's
we're
spoiled.
Probably very spoiled.
It's really true, yeah. And then you find yourself in a home, and I'm talking here from a male perspective, you're expecting your wife to do all that for you, and well, she's just like you. She just came from a home where that was done for her too. So for her to suddenly become that other person, we tend to expect this as guys because, you know, our mothers
did it. That's what you're used to. And then now you're
yeah.
at work all day anyway, so like
so
you probably don't even think about it. It's
yeah.
just an expectation. But even if she didn't come from that home that was kind of spoiled like ours, but maybe she doesn't want to do that.
Yes.
So yeah, it's just, it can be tricky because somebody's got to do it. And what if we're both out working? And so that's when we just need to figure out when can we do it and how can we, you know, delegate or, you know, get somebody else or even share between us. Yeah.
Expectations. I think the word I was looking for is discuss your expectations.
Yeah.
You know, what do you expect out of this relationship? Like roles is very important
yeah.
because I think we tend to sort of have an unspoken agreement about who's going to be doing what. And once when you don't discuss that, and then you actually... Okay, moving from your parents' home to your own home, I think is to me, and I'm sure to you as well, was one of the biggest changes in our lives.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a major change. And not even talking about how that's going to
yeah.
be like, I think is borders on madness. I mean, you need to sit down and discuss what's this going to be like, because it's a completely different life.
Yeah.
You are now in charge. When you are in your parents' home, you are truly almost in charge of nothing, in charge of getting out of the house, you know. I mean,
yeah.
that's the most you would
unless you, I mean, of course, I guess, again, we were talking about more of our experience. I'm sure there are homes where, you know, the kids were doing the chores from when they were young, and so things are more, you know, there's more division of labor, but in our homes, I guess there wasn't.
Yeah,
of course.
But even that is to an extent. I mean,
yeah, you're still not
in charge
of financially,
yeah.
like the bills and just everything. You know, I mean,
yeah.
yeah it's
so
not
I think
the same.
I think the point here is to basically discuss things, not just the big things, also discuss the little things like who's going to be doing what, and what do you think about this, and try to sort of get to an agreement, because you don't want to get into that discussion much later, at a later
yeah,
stage.
Yeah, exactly.
And
also, of course, you may not be coming from your parents' homes. You might be people who have left your parents' homes and have been living on your own. So that's a thing. And then you now also want to, you know, potentially get married to somebody and live with them.
Mm-hmm.
So again, now you may be used to living on your own, so you're doing a lot
all
of the stuff.
Anyway, yeah.
So that might actually be easier if they've both been living on their own, already used to doing that stuff. So then it's a matter of, hey, great, now I get somebody to do some of that stuff with me,
yeah.
and we can divide it. So it really depends. Wherever your circumstances are, where you were living, what you were used to doing, there's stuff to be done. Who's going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the stuff that can bog us down a little bit, because we tend to think of it more, you know, like the romance and the companionship and the fun and the joy. There's also real life stuff.
Yes.
So put that into the package as well, and you can hopefully take that in stride, so that, you know, the enjoyable things are larger than the mundane kind of tasks that we don't really enjoy but need to be done. So you coming towards, I guess, the end of the episode, we're coming close to the practical tip section, and you had, when we mentioned this, when we talked about this yesterday, you had this story that you mentioned about your father and that list that he made.
Yeah.
So I thought that would be a really useful exercise to do as a practical exercise, is to actually make a list of your, so it's really your purpose, right?
Yeah.
It's finding the purpose for the choice of that, you know, Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, and making sure that even the idea of marriage in itself is something that for you right now in this moment is a good idea. Mm-hmm. So the exercise would be what?
I would take it a step, I mean, before that, and I would start with visualization. It's,
yes.
I mean,
good idea,
to be able to know what are the pros and the cons, I think you need to sort of let yourself imagine what you think your married life would be like, which is going to let you know a little bit more about yourself. And this is when you're doing that exercise of writing what are the pros and cons of getting married, you would probably be doing it from a point of self-awareness, as opposed to, because I know that many times I've tried to sort of answer the question, what do I want? And it became much easier when I sort of let myself dream or
yes.
imagine what it is that I want, and then putting it down in words would be much easier. So
yeah,
visualize.
I love visualization.
Yeah,
so
visualize what you think your married life would be like in like 10, 15, 20, 30 years, and then write the things that you imagine, make a list of pros and cons, let yourself question why you're getting married, what you like about that person, are they compatible, is this the person you see yourself with in like 30 years from now, what would it be like? So go through the process of questioning, you know. And
so what about if you do the visualizations and share them together as the exercise?
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely do that. Of course, I think it doesn't have to work for everybody, because it depends on the maturity of the relationship, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we clearly had a very open and honest communication from day one. I mean, and it was very easy for us to you sort of say what you think or say what you feel without being afraid of, you know, trespassing or offending each other. So you should be the judge of this. I mean, are you think you're in a point in your relationship where you're able to be 100%? Because sometimes it's still too premature, you know. I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, it's not like you just met the person. Hey, I just visualized this. What did you visualize?
I know.
I mean, yeah,
it's just that it's
further down.
Yeah, make it. That's a judgment call, really. On
yeah. Well, at least do it for yourself, because that's going to help you understand more about what you want, and it'll help you interact with people in a way that's more aligned with you.
Yeah.
And then if you're far enough in the relationship to actually share, you know, these visualizations with each other, then that's going to be helpful, because that's going to give you things to talk about that
mm-hmm.
are important
mm-hmm.
and are important to align on. I think that's useful.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's some things will work with some people, other things, you know, for some people different things will work. So give it a go. That's kind of like a two-part exercise then.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope you will find this valuable. And please let us know if you have any questions for us, any feedback. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And anything else, Ismail?
Nope, that was... I hope you guys enjoyed it. And let us know what you think.
Okay, and we'll see you in the next episode. Bye.